Revelation chapter 17 in your Bibles, if you go there, and what I'm doing is I'm skipping up from where we were in 13 up to 17 because I want to tie these three chapters together. And I've never done this before when I've taught the book. 17 and 18, those two things are brought together. There's a woman riding a beast. How is it that the beast he just saw in a previous vision is now sitting under a woman named Babylon? And it says in the text that he is thoroughly amazed by what he sees. He's writing this the way he saw them. Doesn't mean it's sequential. That's an important thing to remember. You can't just go start at the beginning of this book and read through and think, oh, all these things are going along in order. They're not. This is jumping back and forth. What he sees is this: the dragon is here again in 17. The woman is his apostate religion, is the harlot queen of the central city out of which he's going to operate, which is Babylon, which is the dragon's great city. So this is really centers on the dragon. The dragon from chapter 12 ties in also the beast from chapter 13, the Antichrist. He's carrying a woman who is the mystery. What's the mystery? The mystery is Babylon. This is John in the future seeing Babylon resurrected. What we're going to find out is Babylon has never gone away. First thing that happens after the rapture of the church is the earth is left without any believers in Jesus Christ. Now, there's going to be a short period of time when there's going to be no believers on earth. How is God going to correct that? He's got to bring witnesses to the earth. How's he going to do that? Well, two witnesses are going to come down and settle in the city of Jerusalem. That's Revelation chapter 11. And they're going to be allowed to settle in the city of Jerusalem because they're going to minister the temple. Now, how is Jerusalem going to get a temple? It's going to get it as a result of the peace that is brokered by this peacemaker, who the world doesn't see as the Antichrist. They simply see him as this great peacemaker, and he and the two witnesses come on the scene about the same time. And it's this time frame, from the beginning of the tribulation, this first 3.5 years that we see in Revelation chapter 17. Because this peacemaker is going to make peace not only in Jerusalem, with the Muslim world and the rest of the world, he's going to bring together the collection of churches and religions around the world into one entity, and I call that the apostate religion. Some people call it the apostate church. A church that is devoid of true faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation 17, we saw this last week. The scarlet beast is carrying the harlot religious system. He's carrying the woman. In the middle of the week, called the abomination of desolation, right here, he's going to essentially put an end to all religion, all temple sacrifice, all Jewish worship, because why? I'm God. Revelation 13 tells us that. Now, the two witnesses, they preach a gospel. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. So the two witnesses also see the start of the sealing of the 144,000, because the 144,000 that we saw in chapter 7 are going to begin their ministry out of Jerusalem, and that ministry is going to spread throughout the world. By the time you get well into the first part of the tribulation, the 144,000 are going to be all over the world. God is going to seal these men with a visible mark on their forehead. They are going to be the ones who survive the entire tribulation period. So if you look at it like this, this beast, who's not seen as a beast at first, he's simply seen as a peacemaker, he's going to go through the entire first 3.5 years, and at the midpoint of the tribulation, commit the abomination of desolation. That's when he becomes the beast. That's when he takes over. He rides the apostate church up to that point. And the 144,000, they go on and they live through the entire tribulation. And they go on then into the kingdom under the rule of Jesus Christ. And so the opposition to these 144,000 who are Jewish and these two witnesses in Jerusalem is going to come from two sources. The apostate leaders who agreed to sign the covenant with the peacemaker who will later become beast in the first place, because he's going to have to make a treaty with leaders in Jerusalem. And there's going to be many Jews through the tribulation who do not become believers in Jesus Christ. They will oppose those who believe in Jesus Christ. The opposition will also come through the apostate church. So apostate church and apostate Jewish leaders are going to oppose the 144,000. And their followers, many of their followers will be killed. Now we see the first glimpse of this in Revelation chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11, when the fifth seal is broken and we get a glimpse into heaven. And what do we see in heaven when the fifth seal is broken? The martyrs under the altar saying, when are you going to avenge our blood? on those who dwell on the earth. It's a term that identifies those who are opposed to the gospel of the kingdom that's being preached. Now, here's a picture I showed you last week. Here you start to see the shadow of what's coming. The woman and the beast. This is the picture of the woman riding a beast in front of the EU building in Brussels, Belgium. That's Europa. Here we're going to look at a picture I got, an artist rendering of the great dragon in chapter 12. This is what I call non-sequential progression. Revelation 12, 13, and 17, there is a tie in these three chapters to this dragon, who starts as a serpent. What ties them together, there's 7 heads and 10 horns. That's the link, 7 heads and 10 horns. And in Revelation 12, the crowns are on the 7 heads. That's important because he's looking historically at all these nations who reigned one after another in history. Revelation 13, the crowns aren't on the heads anymore, they're on the horn. The horns are on this final head. But the crowns are no longer on the 7 heads, they're on the 10 horns. It's the same image, a serpent with 7 heads and 10 horns. Now in 13, however, it's called a beast. That means the beast, the man who's the Antichrist, will have the character of that serpent in chapter 12, the character of Satan. Chapter 17, you have the scarlet beast. You have both images brought together now. The beast is red, bringing 12, 13 together. 7 heads, 10 horns, no crowns. Why? Because the woman is riding on this beast, meaning the woman is over the beast. The church is over the beast in that first 3.5 years because the beast is using the church to consolidate his power. And that's why in the middle of the week, now the crowns are on the horns because now they've come to power. And you see that in 17:12. The 10 horns are 10 kings which have not yet received the kingdom. They've received authority as the kings for 1 hour, for a short time. And it says in 17, what do they do with that authority? They give it over to the beast. They only take power long enough to give it over to the beast because he's the one that's going to be the power. Is the framework and the foundation of the book of Revelation. Never think of the book of Revelation without at the same time thinking Daniel. Because the book of Revelation is unexplainable without the timelines and the references in the book of Daniel. Now in 13, we have a beast. Now no longer a red dragon, but it's a beast who looks like the red dragon. Why? Because he still has 7 heads and 10 horns. This is, again, the 7th head, a new Rome, a revived Rome, it's sometimes called. 13:1 says, a beast out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns he has 10 crowns. On his head, blasphemous names. This is Satan's beast in the middle of the week. It's so clearly outlined. There's 7 heads. There's 10 horns. You see 10 horns in 12, 13, and 17. Now the scarlet beast, the red dragon, and the beast are brought together under a woman. 7 heads, 10 horns. Again, this is the 7th head, the new Rome, the revived Rome. 17:3, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. No crowns on the head or the horns, because this scarlet beast is not ruling anything at this point. The woman is in control. At this point, the beast is only one who's made peace. Because he has the strength to make peace, he makes peace. But he's using the woman to do it. And so she's in control at this point. She is seemingly the queen at this point. And she says in 18, she says, I am not a widow. I am a queen. So this is Satan's beast in the first half of the week. Now let's go back and look at this. Let's look at this. Let's go back to 12 and look at Satan's activity through all history. Now this is amazing. How is it that a serpent who began in Eden is now going to be the power in the future through one who's the beast, who's also called the little horn? Daniel 7. The little horn of Daniel 7 is the beast. And the beast comes out of the revived Roman Empire. Remember what Daniel said? There's going to be 10 horns that are 10 kings, and out of those 10, one is going to come. That is number 8. So actually, we're looking at 8 heads, not 7. I didn't make that up, by the way. You're going to see that in Revelation chapter 17. Daniel chapter 7. A little horn will come up. He'll be a ruler. He's going to subdue 3 of the 10. Never talked about anywhere else that he subdues 3 of the 10. But he brings them all into submission. That is a detail that's in Revelation 17. He brings them all into submission where they turn their authority over to him. All right, let's look at this on a graph form. The first 2 heads, this Egypt, Assyria, number 1, 2, 3 is Babylon, 4 is Medo-Persia, 5 is Greece, 6 and 7 are Rome, and then goes to the revived Roman Empire under 10 kings, and then here's number 8, it's the beast, who's the little horn, who comes out of number 7, which is where the 10 horns are. The 7th head, it actually is 10 horns coming together to form one entity. Out of that arises one who is the beast. When does the beast manifest himself as the beast, as the man who is going to commit the abomination of desolation? In the middle of the week. That's when he changes from peacemaker to absolute, total despot. Now let's work a little bit in 17 and 18. We're going to be in these two chapters for a couple more weeks. What we looked at last week was 17, 1 through 6. The woman is the great harlot. And John is amazed by what he sees. I think he's amazed by two things. The fact that there's this scarlet beast who simply is a nation come back to life, the Roman Empire. But I think he's more amazed by the fact that this Babylonian religious system is still alive and thriving. Thriving in a way that even astounds him. And we are so permeated with Babylonian religion that the very term Easter is a Babylonian term. And we're not going to get rid of it. Just be aware of how saturated we are in this system. But we don't have to partake of them either. That's the danger for a Christian. You start dabbling in the occult, and you're dabbling with a power far greater than yourself. And Christians are sheep. And why are we called sheep? Because we're dumb. And we need someone to take care of us. If we follow him, he will take care of us. My goals are more than I have time for. I'm going to put this off till next week. I brought you to this point. I think the background is so...